Once again, I'm thankful to bring the lesson this morning and glad to see everyone here that's able to be here. We're going to look a little bit about something Jesus said in Matthew 6. He said several things, but we're going to focus on something he told us not to do. In Matthew 6, 25 through 34, that'll be the text I'll be reading this morning. And we'll notice what it is Jesus told us not to be doing this morning. On page 1116, Matthew 6, beginning with verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This morning, we're going to notice something that I think we all do. Everyone in the world does it. Some people do it more than others. And we may wonder what Jesus meant concerning his statement of do not worry. Well, we're going to find out what he meant by looking a little bit about at the context and some of the things he said there that I think that will help us to have an understanding of what he meant. You know, all of us have storms in our lives, and in these storms, that is, turmoil comes, things happen, sometimes trauma, family events, situations that we can't control, things that affect us for the rest of our lives. They may seem small at the time, but then they linger in your memory. Something you wish that didn't happen, something that maybe you were involved in, or something someone did to you. Everyone has these issues. But along with all of that, Jesus says there's something we must not do concerning the after effects and what we look at in the world. We must not worry. Now, most have a problem with worry. Some worry a lot more than others. And it is an emotional thing to worry. It's an emotional response. So the question is, why shouldn't I worry and be worried when life throws so many things at me? Well, there's a story about an old sea captain who was quizzing a new crew member to see how he would do at sea. He said, "What steps would you take if a sudden storm came up on the starboard?" he asked the young man. "Well, sir," said the crew member, "I'd throw out an anchor, sir." "What would you do if another storm sprang up aft?" "I'd throw out another anchor, sir." But what if a third storm sprang up forward? Well, I'd throw out another anchor, sir. Just a minute, son, said the captain. Where in the world are you getting all these anchors? Well, sir, I'm getting them from the same place you're getting your storms. You know, there's some people that don't worry about crossing a bridge till they come to it. And that's always been a strange saying to me, because when I first heard that as a young man, I thought, well, how can you cross a bridge until you come to it? And of course, that statement, when people say something, it has some meaning that is lost when people repeat it and they don't explain to you the meaning of that. And so over time, I figured out that meant I'll have plans, but in the meantime, that's not going to be my focus, whatever that bridge is, metaphorically. When it comes, then I'll assess the situation and I'll approach it. It's a bridge that has to be crossed. Or if there's another way around it, then if that's the easier or best way, I'll do that. And so we can see that worry sometimes is just in our minds. That is an emotion due to anxiety. And I think anxiety may be a better term, because King James uses some terms that have lost their meaning to us through translation over time. Our English language changes. But there's some interesting things we're going to find that Jesus spoke about concerning worry, and how King James used that word, what it meant in the day, you might say, back when it was first given, and how anxiety is maybe a better word that we can understand. You know, worry or anxiety is a normal emotion before we get the facts. And as Christians, sometimes those who are skeptical of the Bible and of God claim that we have a blind faith, and that maybe science has better answers, such as, where did man come from? You know, what's our purpose? Why are we here? A lot of people say evolution, scientific statements of fact. But evolution, of course, is theoretical. It's a theory. No one was there to see it happen, so the theory, the best theory many people go with, is that it happened because of the way that they measure things, the way they see things, the fossils, the earth, the age, the universe, the things they study in science. And science is really a good word. Science means knowledge. And the Bible has a lot of knowledge. And beyond knowledge, it has divine wisdom. And so to trust science is to trust what someone else has studied and said, and you haven't done the research yourself, so you take the information saying, I trust those people, even though they change their books very often. Science has to change to keep up with new discoveries, just like medicine, so forth. But people trust that because they respect those people that say it. Now, as Christians, they say, we don't respect you because the book, the Bible, come on. It's full of absurdities, old stories that don't make any sense. If you take it literal, it doesn't go anywhere. But we believe, if you're fair with the Bible, it has better discoveries than man had before men found them. Scientific discoveries, knowledge, things about life that you can't explain that only the Bible can explain, and that's why you're here this morning, because you believe what you've read in the Bible, what you've heard. You believe in a God that is eternal. And so what we're talking about this morning is, I think what Jesus is telling us is to be aware of how we see things, how we look at the world, our perspective. Now, he said one thing in verse 32 after he spoke about these things concerning worry. He says, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Now, what he's talking about is the food, the clothing, and our life. He said not to worry about. He talked about birds. He said, look at the birds. Verse 26. He said, you're more valuable. Verse 27. Can by worrying, Jesus asks us a question. If you worry, and by worrying, can you add 1 hour can you add time to your life? Verse 28, he speaks about clothes. What does he say in perspective? And that's what we're talking about, perspective, how we see things. He said, see flowers, how they don't labor nor spin. You of little faith. Now, the Gentiles, the world, as he compares to his believers, his followers, his disciples, he said, the Gentiles, which they called pagans then, unbelievers, seek the same things you do, clothes, food. Life itself generates this drive of survival every day. He said, they have the same problem, but you're not to worry. They're going to worry, but you're not to worry. What he's telling us is to change our perspective. If we have the same perspective the world does, we're not going to be much different than the world. And that perspective, of course, is how we see things. You know, if you've taken an art class at some point, or you look at a painting, you appreciate something drawn or a portrait or painting, the mind likes to see things in proper perspective, proper order, because if it's askew, if things are a little off, your mind focuses on those things that are tilted and not quite where they should be normally. To really appreciate the art, your mind will focus on those defects where things aren't arranged quite right. And you might see early artists, if they don't learn perspective, and what I remember is you draw a line of a light pencil of some sort that can be covered over later or erased, and you draw a horizon. And from that horizon, that's going to be your farthest point that you can see something, and everything that's going to be close to you is going to be in focus. And everything is going to be angled like railroad tracks going off into the distance. You're going to have these lines of perspective of ground and sky that meet at that one point. Well, as Christians, our perspective is eternity. Our horizon is eternity. The end of this life is eternity. That's what the Bible teaches, that this life is just a trial of sorts, a test for you to find out who you are. If you say you believe in God, well, prove it to yourself. I have to prove it to myself. When I read the Bible, it challenges me. Do you believe this? Do you believe what I'm saying, God says? Then prove it. Live it. Show me you believe it. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Jesus shows us that this issue is a matter of faith. Verse 30. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, that is all this beauty of creation that we see, we know that it's going to end. Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And so the worry he's talking about, the anxiousness we might have, which is a normal emotion, so what's he talking about? He's talking about being over-anxious. Having anxiety to a point, worry to a point about what's going on in the world or what may happen to you in the world, what may happen tomorrow, what could happen, that the pagans, the Gentiles worry about is a matter of faith. So if you believe the Bible, if you believe in God, then your perspective should be on eternity, on God, on heaven. Things like food, clothing, and life itself. Your daily living should be in proper perspective. Yes, Jesus said, your Father knows you need these things. He's not putting them away and saying, you don't need these things. You don't need to not work. You don't need to not be concerned, but it's over concern. It's over anxious. Over worry is a focus on that thing, food, clothes, life, rather than the perspective of where are you going after these things, because each day is going to bring a different problem. So what do you worry about? If you don't have a job, you worry about getting a job. Once you get a job, you worry about losing the job. If you don't have much money, you worry about money and getting money, and once you have money, you worry about losing money. Yourself, or due to the government or someone else stealing it. If you don't have much food, you worry about that. If you have too much food, you worry about getting too fat. Cholesterol, heart problems, health issues, If you're young, you worry about getting old. When I was young, I couldn't wait to become an adult because people couldn't tell me what to do. I could tell other people or tell myself what to do, and when I got older, I wished that I was a child again because I missed those simple days where other people set the boundaries and control, and all I had to do was play and enjoy life and the simple things. And as I got older, well, there's responsibilities. And so we worry about that. How long we're going to live, how we're going to live in those days. Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, we worry about them, their future. The problem is there's some things, many things we can't control. The world right now. We pray for peace. We know that if we were in another country, we could be in the same situation as many people, losing our life at any time, losing freedoms, losing our home, being forced to leave the country that we love, invaded by another country. What do you do? Some of the end results of what you could do is not what we want to think about, especially here, since we're not directly involved, but we are involved emotionally. If you're human, you have empathy, you understand that suffering is not good for anyone, and we would not want others to suffer. And so we want peace. But the problem is, we aren't in control. According to the Bible, God is sovereign, He's in control. And so when He allows things to happen, we say, well, why? Or someone asks us, why does your God let that happen? Well, with a sovereign God comes freedom, the free will, the moral agency of mankind to choose and do. And so we have to balance that with our faith and our anxiety. And then it comes down to ourselves. So worry, and I find that there's about 118 synonyms for worry. Some of those are anguish, fear, apprehension, concern, misery, misgiving, doubt, agonizing, distress, grieving, being vexed, and the list goes on. There's many terms for worry, that emotional thing we all are subject to. It's an active state of agitated uneasiness and restlessness, apprehension. That's what worry is. It's a concern, which implies an anxious sense of interest in something that may or may not happen. The word care, it's a heaviness of spirit caused by dread or constant pressure of burdens. So it comes in many forms. It's natural, but Jesus says, don't do it. That is, don't focus on your worry. Now, there's some reasons that we shouldn't worry. And I said one of those is the fact that God exists. We believe in God. And as Christians, that should be our focus. If we focus on the worldly things too much, we should focus on them just enough that we take care of the things we're supposed to do. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus made a distinction between the kingdom and the world, between church and state, when he said, show me a coin whose image is on it. Render unto Caesar those things which are Caesar's, unto God those things which are God's. That's a balance. That's a perspective. What do you owe God? Do you owe him your focus in life? Yes, you have responsibilities, a marriage, a home, children, but is that the most important focus of your life and God is in the back? If you put God first, as Jesus said, to seek first, verse 33, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added to you. All these things shall be taken care of. God has provided a magnificent planet for us. And we're to be caretakers, as Adam and Eve were told to do, to take care of the garden, to tend it, to keep it. Verse 34, he said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble, verse 34. These are facts. So in order to eliminate over-worry, over-concern, we need facts. Someone asked me the other day, what do you think this person in Russia, this leader's going to do? And I, at first in my mind, when people ask me something, I think, oh, they think I'm very smart, that I have an answer to something here. So I need to give them the best answer. And then I thought, well, no, I'm the only one here that they're talking to, so probably they just want someone to reassure them, really. Well, I don't have the answers because he has free will. All I can do is what I can do. I know where I'm going eternally, and I'm going to work towards that goal. I believe that goal. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be here this morning. I wouldn't waste my time. I'd be outside in the world wasting my time otherwise. And if this isn't true, what I believe, then what would my life be anyways? What would be the end of my life if there is no God? Nothing. Nowhere. Dead end. So I'd rather be here with you, even if God doesn't exist, which I believe he does, because this is a better life anyway. Better people, better friends, better thinking, better everything. But I believe there is a God, so that even enhances it more, because if I believe that, now I got to live that way with less worry, less anxiety. And Jesus said not to do that because it's a lack of faith anyway. That is, if you overly worry and concern, have anxiety, Jesus said that becomes a sin. It's not wrong to worry. It's wrong to focus and allow that worry to put eternity in the wrong perspective, to look at it backwards. It becomes a sin. O ye of little faith, he said. So if we have facts, there can be less worry. The Bible is facts. So as I said earlier, people believe we have a blind faith. We believe as Christians, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the words of God. Faith is based on facts of God's word, his wisdom, what he said. Therefore, the Bible's faith definition is facts of what is really true. So I don't never accept someone that says I have a blind faith. No, I don't. They do. They have a blind human faith. But according to the Bible, my faith is not blind. It's open spiritual eyes to what is real. Now, if you believe that, you can lessen your anxiety. But it takes practice. There's reasons why we shouldn't worry. Health. Because when you worry, of course, your mind stimulates the fight or flight. And that's adrenaline. It's other things in your body that I'll let Brother Hernandez inform us on, but there are things that happen in your body that are not good for you if you don't have a way to eliminate that. Some people exercise, and that's a good way to burn off the stress, to focus on something else, to focus on the pain of exercise. But it's good for you over time, but it has its limits. You can't go too far because you can create another problem there. We shouldn't over-worry physically, because a lot of medical texts say that that's what causes other internal organ problems. Heart disease, cancer, lung ailments, even suicide. Someone said that ulcers are not caused by what you eat, but what eating you. The second reason we shouldn't worry is because it minimizes your effectiveness. This one man complained. He had moved across country to get away from the noise and stress of the city. His new neighbor had some chickens, but there was a problem. His neighbor had a rooster. It disturbed the man's sleep with its loud crowing in the morning. He went to his neighbor and complained. The man next door said, "It's not that big of a thing. He only crows at first light." The man said, "That may be, but if you only knew how I suffer waiting all night for him to crow." Sometimes we, of course, create our own problems, our own worries, our own anxiety. There's some things that you can't control. So in the meantime, you do what you can. So it's a negative thing. Many people quote Corey Ten Boom, who said, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength." It doesn't change anything. It's like the rocking chair. You can rock back and forth. There's a lot of motion, but the results are you didn't go anywhere. You didn't get anything done. And so it's kind of like that. You're in a rocking chair. But it can lead to sin. So the third reason we shouldn't worry is it can be a sin. Worry can take over our lives, over-worry, when we obsess with it. What we are saying to God is, I don't really believe this. I don't really trust you enough to not let this absorb everything, my thoughts. Isn't that what we're saying? If not, what are we saying? If we're overly concerned about something we cannot control, then what are we saying? So you have to allow God to control those things. Prayer allows that. We pray because of things out of our control. We ask God for help. And we pray with faith because we believe God can help. Psalms 55:22, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. So we want to tell God we trust him, not that we don't trust him, because if we worry too much, it can lead into sin. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 8, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So worries can lead us to the wrong place, lead us astray. They give Satan an opportunity to have a foothold in our lives. So this worry that Jesus is talking about is the kind of worry that can make you ill physically, emotionally. It can paralyze you, causes an intense amount of fear and anxiety because we don't know what to do. We don't know how to fix something. Now, the word worry in King James comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word that means to choke or strangle. And that's interesting because Jesus warns us about that kind of worry. He said that chokes the life out of us. That's in the parable of the sower. Jesus tells about the seed that fell among thorns and choked the plants to death. So that word gets its roots from that. Our seeds should be of faith, not of doubt. When asked about that parable, Jesus explains the portion about the thorns in Matthew 13:22. He said the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. So we know about money. We know about worth, wealth. You can't serve God and mammon. Mammon sometimes refers to money. You can't serve both. And so it's a matter of faith, and it can choke us out. We all have issues with money, but we need to put it in its proper perspective. He tells us to lay up, therefore, treasures in heaven, where moth and dust can't reach it, can't corrupt it. It's uncorruptible riches. And so your wealth, your time, your energy, your focus, your love, your concerns, or should be about the kingdom. And not about the world, because the world has those things, they're not going to go away. There's a big difference between concern and worry. Concern focuses on probable events and we take action. Worry focuses on improbable events and doesn't do anything productive. Jesus said, worry cannot add any time to your life, so it's unproductive. It's useless to over-worry. This fellow suggested, if you're going to worry, you should at least do it scientifically. Here's two important steps in the process. First, he said, write down all of your worries, transfer the anxiety from your mind to a piece of paper. Second, schedule a definite time each week as your worry hour. Perhaps 4 p.m. on Thursday be a good time. When that scheduled time comes, sit down and start worrying to the best of your ability. If someone asks you what you're doing, just explain to them, I'm going down my list of worries. I'm on number 4 right now. He also said, he gave a warning, be sure to take your list with you because you're going to look awful silly sitting there trying to remember what it was you're supposed to be worrying about. Well, that's kind of just a funny play on worry. But worry can drive us crazy or insane, so to speak. Jesus says 5 things to not be concerned about. Finances, Matthew 6:19. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. We're worried about it. So do what you can. Be safe about it. Buy insurance for your car, your house. That's the best you can do. Things will happen. We all know that. Accidents happen. And they can change things in your life. And you have no control. But insurance helps to pad the effects. So we do what we can. Now, spiritual insurance, the Bible doesn't call it that, but to believe in Jesus, isn't that spiritual insurance? You're insuring that you have something that can take care of you if the world happens, if life happens. And I'm not trying to demean heaven or God, but you are insured by God. You are promised by God. You have a covenant with God that He will take care of you eternally if you trust Him and don't trust riches. You don't trust your own self to try to control things you can't control. Don't be overly concerned about earthly possessions. And so some of the other things I've mentioned, food. You know, back then, the Roman oppression, starvation wasn't uncommon in Palestine. So that's kind of what he was talking about. They could really relate. But today, we have more food than we need. We throw away food. If you look at all the restaurants, people in their own homes that throw away food that they think it's going to be expired, so the expiration date, which actually is padded, it gives you some time, so they don't want you to get sick and you sue them. But some people don't, you know, they want to be careful, they throw it out. Or they buy food they didn't eat, they throw it out. We don't know how to properly take care of things, so we get rid of it. Restaurants throw away food. GM used to have gondolas full of vending machine foods and snacks because expiration dates, legal aspects, they emptied all these machines and threw it out. It was worthless. A few minutes ago, it cost a little bit of money there. Now it's worthless. We see that all the time. There is enough food in the world. Man has the ability to feed everybody. But we know people are starving. Children are starving. Why? Because others don't do what they should do. Selfishness, corruption, etc. The list goes on. But Jesus says, don't be worried too much about that. God knows you have need of these things. He will provide you, and you just do your part. We talked about the body. Don't worry about the body. Clothing. How many of you were worried this morning you didn't have something to wear? Well, most of us worry what's the right thing to wear. But back then, they didn't have clothes like we did, and they couldn't wash them as much as we do. And so that was a real issue. They wore clothes more often. And we might look down on people that do that. We think, can't they afford any clothes? Don't they care? So it's not about fashion. When we're young, we're probably concerned about what people think. As we get older, probably lessons. Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to have to wear. But we have an abundance of clothes. What we're worried about, is it the right brand, the right style? Do my clothes match? Does this make me look fat? And on and on and on. We get hung up. We worry about those things. But should we? Where's our focus? Where's it supposed to be? We worry about getting older. When I was younger, my hair started turning light, colored, white, mixed salt, white, about 18, 19, 20s. Well, this friend I had at work is very sarcastic, who reminded me of Mr. T. Look him up if you don't know who Mr. T is. This guy was actually a fighter. He went and went to contests and fought. So he had this, you know, brash way of speaking, and he said, what are you worried about, Larry? What are you always worried about? He was being sarcastic. I said, what do you mean? He said, your hair is turning white. What are you worried about? And I said, getting bald like you. It's the first time I ever come up with something quick. He was bald. We made fun of each other all the time. He thought that was funny. But we're worried about, if we have fair hair, we're worried about losing it. Worry about it going gray. If we have bad teeth, we worry about people seeing that. Paul Harvey told of a fellow who put braces on his false teeth so he might look younger. We get stressed out about aging the faster our bodies decline. So how do we overcome it? Well, Jesus says, if you want to overcome worry, it's your perspective. Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be given to you as well. How do I know it's about perspective? He said, look, verse 26, at the birds of the air. Verse 28, see how the flowers of the field grow. Look, see how you visualize things. Not only what you physically see, but what do you see with your spiritual eyes beyond this life that you're now concerned about that tomorrow will be a new concern? Tomorrow will bring you a new concern. Whatever the thing is today, there will probably be a bigger one tomorrow, next week, next month. And it'll put everything in perspective. What was I worried about? I can't remember. This thing's in my way now. So what can you do? Put it in proper perspective. Seek first the kingdom, his righteousness. Second thing, when you struggle with obsessive worry, is live one day at a time. Matthew 6:34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Be concerned about what you can do right now. Live today for God. Live today for yourself, for your family. Do what you can do. But what's going on in the world? Can you change it? If you can, do that. If you can't, God can. So we can ask God to help us in that. Don't worry about tomorrow. It takes away from the energies of today. Montaigne, the philosopher, said, "My life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of it which never happened." Isn't that a lot of people? I think many people have said things like that. Lastly, Paul puts it this way, Philippians 4:19. God says he knows what we need. "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." So what God has given us is a promise, and we should live by that. I like that illustration. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap, stow away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Have you ever heard someone say that she eats like a bird? It's kind of strange because birds eat about 2 or 3 times their body weight every day. So eating like a bird, you're going to be a heavy bird. Could you imagine having to find that much food for your family every day? That'd wipe out a lot of markets. But God provides. God says, "Look about you, how I take care of things." Last verse, Matthew 11:28-30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Why is that? Because God is doing the heavy lifting. He's going to take care of the things that have to be taken care of. Things that you can't control. The free will of others that you have no responsibility or right over, but you have your own free will. And so this morning, the decision is yours. The good news is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He has a place prepared for us. He's awaiting us. He's awaiting for us to come home. In the meantime, this earthly home is limited. Yes, there are real concerns. But put them in proper perspective. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Believe in Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess him before others. Be buried in water. Baptized. Be baptized for the remission of sins. God promises us eternal life. That's our home. That's our perspective. A spiritual life. If you're a Christian, if you sinned in some way or you want the prayers of others, we can assist you in that also. Won't you come while we stand and sing?